good morning. It's time for the Estate and Medicaid Planning Show with the Herzog Law Firm.
Will you still need me? Will you still feed me when I'm 64?
Good morning. My name is Dave Kubikian.
Good morning. My name is Phil Vacchio.
Hi, Phil.
Hi, Dave. Hi, John.
Hi, John.
I'm here.
Phil and I and John. Well, John's not
see
one of the attorneys.
When I check my phone. It's like, hi.
Phil and I are two of the attorneys at the Herzog Law Firm, and some combination of us are here every weekend talking to you about estate planning and elder law. I'm pleased to tell you, Phil, more people listen to us than I thought.
What do we got? We have a number here.
I emailed the state. They said something like 1,600 people on average listen to us.
That's more than I thought too. That's great.
Now it didn't say whether they're awake or not. They might be asleep. And
this is their alarm clock. Wake up.
Yeah. It might be.
It counts.
Right. But more than I thought, which means that maybe we're talking about the right topics, the hot topics out there.
Absolutely, and you know you have more in the stream.
Oh yeah,
that's true.
So I mean, you have more than that.
Well, and for the podcast part, I'm at least six of those downloads because I listen to the show nonstop.
Yeah, it's all Dave just re-listening to himself. Yeah.
It is a call-in show, and you can reach us at 518-476-5900. And if you want to come into the office, one of the four offices in Albany, Clifton Park, Saratoga Springs, or down in Kingston, you could reach us at 518-465-7581 or email us at info@herzoglaw.com or go to our website or
plenty of ways to get us.
Yada yada yada. What's going on, Phil?
Not too much, Dave.
Yeah.
Big
you know what? I'm gonna call baloney on that one with three kids and a brand new one. I'm pretty sure there's a lot going on.
Downplaying it, but a lot. You know, organized chaos, but a lot of car shows going on this weekend. My father in law is coming up and my son all of a sudden is a huge Corvette fan. I'm not sure why. He saw him in the street, but he loves Corvettes. Oh. And there's a few shows this weekend going on. So it's always amazing to me how into that people are, how much money they spend on these cars and
classic cars.
Yeah, it's a big thing.
Yeah, it's pretty cool the way they spend all that time and money restoring these things.
I'll tell you, I could understand it because I spent about 10 minutes this morning on my phone because on one of the social media services, I saw something about like 80s things, like things that remind you of the 80s. Yep. And I ended up watching like 10 minutes of clips of like old video games or what the design of the Doritos bag used to be, like everything.
Yeah.
So, you know, if you grew up with your car, your first car, and you happen to grow up in the 60s or 70s, so you had this amazing looking car, I get it.
Yeah, yeah. My father-in-law has this 1975 Duster that...
I had a 75 Duster.
Did you?
You did.
I bought it new. Yeah.
You don't have it anymore? You sold
it? Great car. Oh, no, no.
He drove my wife to our wedding in it. He pulled up to the church in the Duster.
Those were great cars. They run forever.
Yeah.
Does he maintain it? Is it all original? Is it all replacement?
He does. It's not all original. He's not very over the top, but he works on it quite often. It's something he wants to, you know, pass down to my son. He was skipping me. He has no sons of his own, so it'll go to the grandson, Colin, one day. But, you know, I know we have a topic today, but that's another topic down the road.
Forget about our topic. We'll talk about that.
Cars?
What's very interesting to me, Phil and John, is that some of these cars have a lot of value, and some of these cars only have, like, sentimental value. They're not a huge, huge asset.
Yeah.
So I've seen clients with classic cars that are, like, $5,000, $10,000. I've seen them when they say, how much is this worth? And they say, it's probably worth about $50,000. I'm like, really?
Yeah.
And then, I don't know if I've told you, Phil. John, you may know. I had a client down in Kingston, and he had a 1950-something Bentley, whatever.
Yeah, a Bentley.
That was sold for $1.5 million while he was still alive.
They were high-end cars anyway.
Yeah, I'm sure that's a rare one, too.
So, there's obviously a range, but that sentimental value and making sure that, you know, my grandson gets it, that's a big deal.
Yeah. No, it is.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
It's worth a lot to people, you know, even despite the monetary value.
Yeah. On the way in, I heard about something I didn't know about. 2 weeks from now, there's some sort of adult field day. Tell me about this. What is this?
Okay, now you're going to make me look it up.
Oh, no. Just follow.
I heard that, too. It sounds exciting.
Because my daughter has a field day in school once a year.
It's called Saratoga Field Day. It's going to be at Pitney Meadows Community Farm in Saratoga. And it's a day of classic events like relay races, obstacle courses, inflatable bounce houses, axe throwing, a cornhole tournament, That's pretty much what it's all about. They're going to have bonfires and live music and s'mores and craft beer and that kind of thing.
Sounds good.
Barbecue chicken.
Yeah. Ambulances will be on site just in case axe throwing goes wrong.
That's probably a good idea.
Some fights breaking out then. I don't know.
Wow. Yeah. Oh, that sounds fun.
Competitive.
Yep. So that's it. That's happening 2 weeks from today.
Cool idea.
We should have a field day, Phil.
Listen.
There you go.
I'm all about that. A little competition is great.
Well, we did have a topic today. Obviously, we're happy to field your phone calls and answer your questions. But the topic that came up, Phil, was because I was asked to write an article in the 55 Plus magazine. You know, you go to the supermarket, you go to a doctor's office, you can't go anywhere without seeing 55 Plus magazine or Capital Region Living or whatever. And the topic was about Medicare. And so they're going to be having a symposium about Medicare and so on. And what my role was going to be is, what doesn't Medicare cover? Because it seems to cover everything.
It seems to, right? But that's always when we come into the picture. You know, what does it cover? What doesn't it cover? And for most people, it's going to cover your day-to-day stuff, right? You know, hospital stays, doctor visits, oftentimes drug plans, and which is fine for the majority. But what happens, you know, when you get older and that level of care increases?
Well, so Medicare is health care.
Yeah.
It is health insurance for people who are 65 and over, or if, you know, there's other situations where you can qualify for Medicare where you're not 65 yet. But Medicare is a form of health insurance. And the way I say, you know, I just try to dumb it down for myself, Phil, and I say, well, health insurance is for things where you can get better.
Yeah.
So you go to the doctor, maybe a preventative visit. Sure, that's part of health insurance and health care. You go to the hospital because you broke your foot, right? That's health care, right? Health insurance is going to cover that, hopefully. And, you know, if we're a little older and when we break our hip or we break our leg, it's a big deal and we're in the hospital for a while and they're going to operate and put a pin in grandma's hip or whatever they're going to do, grandma's off her feet for a week in the hospital. Well, she's not going to go straight home. She's going to go to rehab.
Yep.
And Medicare, getting better health insurance, will cover at least part of that. And that's where the confusion starts, because a lot of people think Medicare covers all of it, and they don't.
Sure. And usually with that situation, it's only for temporary stays, for short time stays.
So you can get better. Yeah, exactly right.
Getting better.
And so the specifics of it, because every now and then when we're doing a consult with someone and we're talking about how they got a plan for long-term care and we use the word Medicaid and we use the word Medicaid trusts and all that stuff, oftentimes someone will say, well, and I get it, but I had a neighbor who fell, went to the hospital, went to rehab, came home, Medicare covered it all. And I said, well, that's awesome. That's fantastic.
Right.
I'm so, thank goodness for that. And that must mean that it was a very short-term rehabilitation, because Medicare covers up to the first 20 days of rehab in full, and then for days 21 through 100, so up to 100 days of Medicare coverage out there, right? The last 80 days, they cover a lot of it, but they also don't cover about $5,500 a month worth of Medicare.
Right, up to $200 a day, I believe the figure is.
Yeah.
So, and it's... On a base level, it's also very confusing. The whole thing is confusing for someone who doesn't look at it every day. So you have Medicare, and then you have Medicaid, which we're going to get into a little bit in a second. So the first question is, why did the government name them such similar names?
Why do they share six letters, do you mean?
My theory is they did it intentionally to just mess with people. Medicare,
yeah.
Medicaid. Very confusing, right?
It's very confusing.
But like you said, I mean, Medicare is, you're automatically eligible when you turn 65 or if you're deemed disabled. So if you can qualify for Social Security disability benefits, you're also eligible to receive Medicare. And like you said, that's all your general stuff, your hospital, your doctors, all that type of stay. But we get older, you use the example, all right, grandma goes into the hospital, gets a surgery, gets a pin in her hip, right, and she goes into rehab. But despite their best intents, she doesn't get better in rehab, and everyone determines it's in her best interest to stay long-term, right? She can't return home anymore, okay? She has to stay here long-term, and we're going to transition her into what we refer to as skilled nursing care, right? And that's when that 100-day timeline that you reference becomes very important, because Medicare will cover up to that amount of time, but day 101, you are full private pay. And what does that look like?
Well, that's an expensive world. But let me go back for just a second, because you did what I do, which is you said up to the next 80 days or up to 100 days. And you kind of did put a little seasoning on the up to there. I heard it. Because nothing's guaranteed. You don't just get 100 days, because that's what people think. They say, oh, well, I know the first 100 days. No. It's up to the first 100 days. It's up to the first 20 days that's in full. And the reason why we got to make such a big deal about the words up to is because we have clients where they're unable to engage in rehab or they refuse it. So Medicare says, you don't want it. We're not going to provide it, and we're not going to pay for your stay in this skilled nursing facility. If you plateau in your recovery, grandma's getting better, but guess what? Now she just has a bad hip, right? That happens, right?
Yep.
I could speak for myself here. My body is not the same it was when I was 20. There's parts of my body that make sounds when I go up the stairs and things that hurt in the morning, right? So my 100% fill is no longer full tank. Like when I feel 100%, I'm probably at like 88.
Yeah, you got to reset your expectations. Yeah.
So when your full tank is still, you know, having trouble moving from point A to point B, or when your full tank is still having problems with your cognitive abilities and remembering where you live or all that stuff, right? Then it's a true long-term care fact pattern. It's no longer a health care fact pattern. Medicare covers the health care aspect of things. When you plateau, when you're not getting better anymore, when you've gone to day 101, because Medicare says, hey, if you haven't gotten all the way in 100 days, we can't help you anymore.
Right. We're going to just say it's not going to happen. And I'll put a little caveat, too, in that if you do get cut off before day 100, we do always advise the clients to appeal that, because we want to get as much as we can out of Medicare. But obviously, that appeal is not always successful. And you have to plan as if it's not going to be successful. We're looking at worst-case scenario.
Yeah.
And that's where also the planning ahead of time becomes important. You don't want to say, all right, well, I'm at day 99. I've made it. Let's go see an attorney and see what we could do here. Right? That's probably not a good idea.
And by the way, you probably don't want to be in rehab for 99 days. You probably want to be home as soon as possible. And hopefully it works out that way.
Yeah.
The version of home that you come home to is not the same that you left home with in a lot of instances, because you are, your full tank is a little lower. I spoke to Harry Miller earlier this week.
How's he doing?
He's doing good. That's great. Hi to everybody.
That's great.
No, we miss him.
Yeah, we always miss him. And I always, whenever we're talking about Medicare, I always will recall in his own family, he had to appeal, not Medicare, but he had to appeal to hospital, because the hospital for, I think it was his mother-in-law, had said that his mother-in-law was there for about a week and it was all observation, Phil. It wasn't a three-day inpatient admitted type of situation. And Medicare, again, only triggers on the 3 days admitted in a hospital. You don't get to go to the emergency room and spend 2 days there and then think you're entitled to Medicare to cover your rehab. It doesn't work that way.
Yeah, that is an initial condition as well, right? The 3 day hospital stay before you go to the rehab.
So he always would make a big deal about that, rightfully so, because the facts matter. And we see these headlines, or you hear from your neighbor's friend, Medicare covered it all. Well, in that instance, for that person, in that fact pattern, Medicare covered it all, and thank goodness it did. But it eventually becomes a long-term care fact pattern where it's $550 or $575 a day.
Yeah.
Or $600 a day. It's getting there to be in the, in the nursing side of the skilled nursing facility, not the rehab side.
And that's where it really starts hitting the pocket hard. And even if you're the type of family that says, well, my parents' assets are their assets, and it's there to pay for their care. The idea is, if it runs out, that money, then you're kind of stuck if you haven't done any advanced planning, even if you don't care about protecting the assets.
Yeah.
In my opinion, if we could protect some assets, why not? Let's try to do what we can. I'm sure your parents would have wanted that as well. But even if that's not your goal, and it's just if the money's gone, it's gone, you still want to plan ahead so that you're not planning from behind when there's no money left, and you may have costs in getting Medicaid and going that route. So starting the process as early as possible is very important. And even, like you said, optimally, everyone wants to come home. I still haven't met the client that says, I want to go to a nursing home. But
well, so we're going to pick your brain, Phil, on the second half about how we're going to do that planning. We'll be right back with the second half of the Herzog Law Firm's Estate and Medicaid Planning Show right after this.
You've been listening to the Estate and Medicaid Planning Show with the Herzog Law Firm. Join us every week to learn more about protecting the assets you've worked hard for, options available for Medicaid planning, and more. With offices located in Corporate Woods in Albany, West Harrison Street in Saratoga Springs, Executive Woods in Clifton Park, and 130 North Front Street in Kingston, our attorneys are here to help you. If you'd like to schedule an appointment to speak with David, Jane Marie, or Phil, please call us during normal business hours Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. To contact us in Albany, Clifton Park, or Saratoga offices, call 518-465-7581 or our Kingston office at 845-338-6405. Let the Herzog Law Firm help navigate a plan that works for you and your family. Now back to the Estate and Medicaid Planning Show with the Herzog Law Firm.
Hi, everybody. I'm Phil Vacchio.
Good morning. I'm Dave Kabikian.
Dave, this is a big moment for me. John, I don't know if you guys heard, my name is now in
you're
the
famous.
Commercial.
You're
I
famous.
Have, I've made right. it.
You made it.
It's a great sense of achievement. Thank
you're right,
you,
right. It is official. Yeah, makes
well,
it official.
My son asks every week. He goes, Dad, your name. They don't say your name. I said, one day, son.
One day.
Yeah.
One day when you're in your Corvette.
Yeah, that's right.
Or Duster or whatever it is. Yeah. So have you ever seen the movie The Jerk, by the way?
Yeah.
Steve Martin.
Hilarious.
So be careful about when your name is officially on something. There's a whole phone book scene.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yes. The new phone book's out.
What a great movie that is, man.
He hates those cans.
Okay. All right. Let's reel it in. Okay. Phil, first
yes.
half, we were talking about what Medicare covers and doesn't cover, and you know, very astutely said, well, you know what? We don't have to wait until day 88 to figure out what to do when Medicare cuts out.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, a lot of people don't plan ahead of time. We always encourage people to, you know, plan ahead of time. What kind of plan are you talking about?
Yeah. So before the break, we were talking about, you know, the options of planning ahead before it gets into a crisis mode. And where I was going with that conversation was when you're in a rehab, everyone's goal is to come home if possible. I still haven't met the client that says, I want to be in a nursing home long term, right? That's not many people's goal. But even with that process, so I'm in a rehab and I say, all right, well, my mom or dad's going to come home, but coming home doesn't look the same as it did before I was in rehab because mm-hmm. now I have my parents have additional limitations. So is the home accessible for their needs, right? Are they going to be able to live alone or do they now need care in place?
Yeah.
And all those things cost money. They're expensive. You know, Medicare, right, that they already have will cover some of the things like possibly a hospital bed and if they need a Hoyer lift, some things that they need in the house. But that long-term care aspect again. So if they need aides to come into the house to care for them, however many hours a day that may be, Medicare is not going to cover that. And again, we're in the realm of Medicaid, which is not an automatic eligibility.
Well, Phil, we're in the world of private paying or yeah. long-term care insurance. And if you don't want to do either of those two things, that's where, you know, we'll rely on Medicaid. But Medicaid looks to see if you qualify. You got to plan ahead of time, especially for nursing homes, five-year lookbacks. But we have a look-back period on the horizon for home care as well, 2.5 years. Come April 1st, we'll see what happens with it.
Yeah, but we have to assume that it's going to actually go into place. There's been talk since October of 2020. It's been delayed, what, 4 or 5 times? But yes, that April 1st, 2024 date is on the horizon. We have to plan as if it's going to go into effect. But even if someone is eligible, the process of getting someone on home care Medicaid it's not days. It's oftentimes not weeks. It could be a few months before care is actually fully in place through Medicaid. And maybe in the between time, you do have to private pay for a certain amount of time. But the sooner you start that planning process and get it started, the sooner you're going to get that care in place, right?
Yeah.
So that's the goal.
If you are thinking, you know, we may want to kind of formalize the care that mom is getting right now. So we're helping out and we have a couple girls coming in to help out. And we're, you know, us kids rotate who's going to take a look at mom and make sure she's all right. If you're going to look at Medicaid to help pay for those expenses, you will be listening to Christmas music by the time the care is there.
Yeah.
Okay. And so 3 months, 3.5 months, And sometimes we say that, and in a speaking engagement or something, especially when there's someone like Kim Hance, our Kim, who's involved, right. And she'll say, "Oh, so you think it'll be early?" Because we're saying Christmas is early, on it. So you do have to be as proactive as possible. And sometimes, Grandma just fell. Mom just fell. She was doing good until now. And that fall turns into a much bigger deal. Sometimes, in fact, I don't know how it all works, and I'm obviously not a doctor, but sometimes a fall, an accident can turn into dementia, can turn into Parkinson's diagnosis.
It does, yes.
It's really weird how that all works out.
I know.
You have to just assume, as the older you get, when something happens to you, the more collateral there can be. Whatever it is, whether, and I don't know, again, I don't know how it works either, but it's more likely that there's going to be after effects of whatever that is. Break a hip, have pneumonia.
Phil, it could be a urinary tract infection.
We see that commonly.
Someone goes to the hospital, all of a sudden dad's all loopy, and we're, what's going on with him? And it turns out he's got a UTI or something like that.
People don't realize that the UTIs do cause, mental type issues where there's hallucinations and things of that nature, and until it's diagnosed, that may go on and it could be difficult to deal with. But that also, after that happens, sometimes it has lingering effects as well.
Yeah.
And they may never be, the same as they were before. And we have to reassess their level of need at that point. And if you have a family that can step in and provide the care, that's great. I always love to hear that when I have clients come in as a family and we're going to act together and everyone's going to chip in. I love to hear that. That's how it should
sounds
be.
Sounds nice.
It does sound nice. But how far does that go? How long does that last? How much do you have to sacrifice as an individual, even if you want to help your parents? And would your parents want you to have to make all those sacrifices if there's other options out there?
I think the last thing you said there's other options out there. Of course, you're going to help your parents out. Of course, you're going to be there. If you need to leave work early, of course you're going to do that, right? Or at least most people are going to do that.
Hopefully.
Right? Hopefully. But there's other options there. It's not so black and white. It's not, I'm either taking care of my mom or she's taking care of herself. There's this whole world out there that can help. And what we are saying is just plan ahead of time. Do that trust ahead of time. And, well before a fall, well before a bad diagnosis, because we know we're all mortal here and we know that we want to avoid probate and things like that. And then if and when the bad news starts to come in, we know one less thing we need to do is get financially eligible for the program. One less thing we need to do is worry about a look back period for home care that doesn't exist yet, but might one day.
Right. You're going to have an idea of your options. I would say at least half of my meetings, I'm spending time educating. Just yesterday, I had clients who were in their, maybe late 50s and very healthy, but they were very concerned about all of this. And basically, you give them a crash course, and this is what happens in the future. These are your options. And they walked out of there being like, wow, that was so great. And we have so much in the future that we know if things happen. And I feel that's very important, just getting ahead of the game. Again, like I keep saying that, but I can't stress that enough.
Yeah. Knowledge is power, right? I don't know who's came up with that one, but knowledge is clearly power. Yeah. And knowing your options, the good and the bad, is extremely important. Educated decisions. For our clients. I guess the girls last week didn't mention, changing gears for a moment here, the passing of the lead pirate head.
And I was here. I should remember. And I'm not quite sure if they did or not. But anyway.
Jimmy Buffett
is what we're talking about.
Legend. Yeah. Jimmy Buffett.
They're passing away left and right, Phil.
Probably the happiest guy on the face of the earth, and always smiling. Always wanted to be there with people. That was his thing.
Yeah.
He made more money on his live shows than he did on his records and stuff.
So. Well, and he had a company through all the Margaritavilles and stuff that generated over a billion.
He had resorts and
$1 billion.
Margaritaville, he had the Landshark beers and all that. He was an advocate of happiness.
He was, indeed. Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. And Cheeseburgers in Paradise.
Yep.
He loved those.
It's a great song,
I looked at his estate stuff, and as you would imagine, so he passed away from a quiet but long bout of cancer.
Right.
And it looks like he had all his ducks in a row. He had a fortune of over $1 billion. So we're not going to learn a lot from Jimmy Buffett's specific estate plans when it comes to us and our clients.
Yeah. Right.
But He was prepared, and it sounds like he was very aware of the different moving pieces. In fact, I just read that his estate, the estate of Jimmy Buffett or his trust or whatever, have already released an album for him with a couple new songs that had never been released.
Right.
So well choreographed.
It makes you think that maybe he set that in motion himself, right?
Yeah.
You know, which is
could
which is great. And that's how it should be. I'm always shocked when you have the celebrities that pass away and
I know.
Nothing in place. I was like, was it intentional?
Yeah.
Didn't want to?
Well.
Maybe. It's, you never know.
I guess the lesson to learn from something like that is that, you know, any level of preparation, whether it's when you're going to release your next album or if it's just making sure that your personal items and the things that are most important to you are going to the right people and that kind of planning, you got to make sure you do have a plan in some way, shape, or form.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, getting back to Medicaid for a moment, you know, we talked about how long it takes and whatnot, but it is a great program. And that planning ahead and getting eligible ahead of time is going to make that process faster, even if it takes a while. You mentioned Kim Hans from our office, which I want to give a shout out. At the firm I was at previously, we did not have someone.
You did not have Kim Hans?
We did not have a Kim Hans in my office. And being with the firm now for, I've been here three or so months, she's invaluable. So she's that person that goes out and kind of assesses the need people have and all those things we were talking about, like what does Medicare cover and what are the options? Like she knows all of that stuff in and out, and it's such a great resource for our clients. So I'm giving her a shout out here on the radio. It's good for us. It's good for them. I mean, very helpful.
She makes us look good. Mm-hmm. John, I don't know if you've ever spoken with Kim outside of these.
No, I haven't. No, but
I know last week she was probably talking about a lot of things that she can do.
Yeah.
It's not just about Medicaid,
right,
guys. It's not just about even specific or formal long-term care needs. She's so connected in what the different counties and towns can provide, different services, the Meals on Wheels.
Right, the resources.
Everything.
And it's always the big picture. You know, we talk about Medicaid, what we can do, but when we come into that situation, we look at everything combined. And all right, well, let's get some help from Medicare, which you already have, and these resources combined with maybe we apply for Medicaid, get the care, and putting that, you know, all those pieces coming together as one big plan is what's going to be best for the client.
Yeah.
So it's, you know, it's important. It's important.
I can't believe we forgot to talk about lightning having struck this building.
I don't know if it was this building, but some of our transmitters got struck. In other buildings.
That was an incredible storm yesterday.
I think the lightning was going for 10 minutes straight. Constant blue skies.
Kept going and going.
It was wild.
Crazy.
And everyone's all right.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I don't even know what happens. But, you know, my daughter asked me, what's lightning? And I had no idea how to explain
that. You forget your...
it's hard to explain. Yeah. It's hard to explain.
So can the lightning hit a car? I was like,
well,
I always say rubber tires. You're protected, right? Like, isn't that?
But you're okay in a car. And
what about
okay
a house?
Building,
it's like, honey, we got to change the topic here.
The answer is you're safe. That's what you tell your kids, no matter what.
Yeah, seek shelter. That's the best thing.
Shelter.
And you're okay.
Well, hopefully the weather the rest of this weekend will be all right.
Hope so. Yeah.
Yeah, and then
I got to get to those car
Saratoga
shows,
Field Day will be all. Where's the car show, by the way?
So there's one today, Curtis Lumber by my house in Boston Lake, and then tomorrow is the Corvette show up at the Queensbury Hotel. Up in Queensbury. Yeah.
Very cool.
So I'm excited. Check them out. Yeah.
Have a good weekend, everyone.
Take care.
Thank you for listening to the Estate and Medicaid Planning Show with the Herzog Law Firm. For more information on their services, please visit herzoglaw.com. If you would like to speak with one of their attorneys, please contact the Albany office at 518-465-7581 or their Kingston office at 845-338-6405.